This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, you know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. Episode 368 with Rita Wilson. I tell you, Mike, I didn't know what to expect. I figured she'd be nice, but I didn't know what to expect with this interview. She's awesome.
She's really nice.
Yeah, like you're just like, dang, don't go back to California.
Stay here.
Just stay here and be our friend. She has a new album called Rita Wilson Now and Forever Duets. And, you know, also, you never know where people want to go if they're talking about, specifically, we're talking about music, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that she was like, yeah, my first thing was on the Brady Bunch. She talked about being on that episode. I just really enjoyed the interview.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, and so I'd met her briefly once before because we had mutual friends, and I'd never want to bother the stars. And so, because you know what? The stars aren't like us, regardless of what you read.
They're not.
They're often busy, and they're cooler. And so I didn't want to bother her, but it turns out they're a lot like us because she's really nice. So, I mean, Rita Wilson has starred in so many movies, Sleepless in Seattle, Mixed Nuts, Now and Then, Runaway Bride. It's complicated. One of the things that I will do is I will, in the middle of an interview sometimes, tell a story that I think might somehow resonate with the person I'm interviewing, where they relate to it in a way. It'll be a quick one, and it's not really a technique that people recommend because it's me telling a little story in the middle of an interview with someone else. But I often can tell a story, and if someone reacts to it, and that's all I'm looking for is a reaction, mm-hmm. and I can see what part they react to, and I know they got something to say. And so when we start talking about our parents, this is the for me, the best part of the whole interview.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
And sometimes people are like, yeah, parents were good. It's tough or it's easy or mom's gone. Dad, who knows? But this was like a real deal. I could have done an hour on just that. It's really good. So she does it all. You know, again, she has a new album. We'll talk about it. We'll play some of it. Obviously, she's acted in many things. I know they have kids, right? They have,
yeah. Couple kids.
Married to Tom Hanks. She's got a million Instagram followers, and she's a really cool person. So I hope you enjoy this with Rita Wilson. You and I met, I was trying to think too, it was an event after something.
It was after the CMAs, and it was at the Marriott Hotel at the after party.
There were big donuts on a wall. Like, that's what I remember about right. that. In order, no offense, big donuts. Rita. And that's what was cool about that night.
One would say that I've got a lot of holes in my head, so maybe that's appropriate. No, and you had either just won Dancing with the Stars or you were in the finals. I can't remember exactly, but
I was about to do the finals.
Yes.
And I was exhausted, and I was like, why am I doing this? It's funny you remember that.
I do, because I love the show and I watch the show.
You watch the show.
Oh, I do. And now it's gone to streaming, so I'm going to have to, you know, set it up on that. But
Could you dance like that? Can you dance?
Oh, heck no.
Someone that has every performance skill, you can't dance. You have every performance skill. acting and comedy and drama. Like, my wife and I were watching Curb Your Enthusiasm the other night. We just go through and watch random episodes. And there you are, and you're crushing. And I'm like, what does she not do? So you're telling me you can't. I don't believe it. Now, you can be humble, but I don't believe it.
No, I have danced. I have danced, but I'm not what you would call a dancer. Like, anything that I do, I have to rehearse a lot. I can't just show up and be like, okay, look at me. You know, I'm.
Well, I do that a lot without rehearsing. Look at me. I fall down. It's
always
a whole thing.
Good.
Yes, yes.
I love it. I love moving. And the thing is like anything like that, like dancing, even if you're just dancing at a party or something, you can't be in a bad mood when you're dancing because the endorphins just kick in and you're so happy.
I would challenge that, actually.
Really?
I was in a bad mood every time I danced. Like, I can't do it. What am I doing? I'm terrible.
And yet you won.
Only because the people. That's the people. It's very much our culture. If the people like you, They celebrate you and they lift you. And then once they lift you, they like to knock you down.
Yeah.
Then they like to lift you back up. I'm like a yo-yo.
It is like, yeah,
it's
a,
like
yo-yo.
A yo-yo.
It's like badminton.
Yeah.
Kind of goes up, comes down slow.
And they get slammed. Get yes, that's
when
it.
When you least expect it.
That's it. We have a mutual friend. I assume you and Christian are still friends.
Kristen Chenoweth?
Her too.
Oh, yes.
Christian Bush.
Oh, Christian Bush.
Yeah.
One of the greatest human beings of
yeah.
all time.
Yeah.
Like, literally. I got to go on tour with him. And he is, and I've written songs with him. One of my favorite songs I wrote with him and Liz Rose. And he's just an amazing human being.
The best. I mean, same for me. We've written together when I was doing one of my comedy projects. And Christian writes like a mad scientist. I don't know how it was with you, but I was like, hey, I have this idea for a song. And he has like an iPad and he has like a 4-stringed instrument with like the tail of a raccoon coming out of the top of it. And all of a sudden he's got a clunk, click and a clock. And he's like, okay, well, he's all over the place. And I'm like, what? Is that beakers? He's pouring water into beakers.
Steam is coming
everything.
Out of the things. It's different colors.
Just
but you know what? He was a poetry major in college at Emory. And he thinks like that. He thinks in words. One time we were writing a song together called I'm Guilty. Guilty of loving you, you know. I was like, sorry, I'm busted. Yes, I love you. And the writing assignment, this was when I was first starting songwriting. And he said, okay, this is the idea. Now I want you to go away and I want you to list all of the things that you very specifically love about someone.
What do you mean go away? Like go to another room?
Yeah.
And not like just, leave for a month.
No.
Like take a second and.
Yeah, exactly. Take a moment. And it was so much fun because what he was, I think, teaching me was, it has to be specific to you. It has to be authentic to you. And that was a really great lesson. But he is also one of the greatest musicians to work with and play with. And so is his band, Brandon,
his
brother Benji Shanks. Like, they're just amazing guys.
What's remarkable about Christian and Brandon is that just being around them actually spawns even great artists and people. We had a girl who was up here a few weeks ago who is really like catching on right now. She's probably like 20 years old. And we were talking to her and she was like, yeah, I was an intern in Atlanta for Brandon and Christian. Just being around that. You see this in the NFL too, around great head coaches, around great directors. Like sometimes you just pick up stuff.
You totally pick up stuff.
Just by being around greatness and seeing work ethic and seeing how they do it.
Work ethic is so huge, at least for me. I really appreciate that. I'm always impressed by that. You know, like coming down here and writing in Nashville, when you write, you have these two sessions, right? A morning session and an afternoon session. And it when I first came down, it was intimidating because people were so excellent at what they did, their craftsmanship, their facility. And by facility, I mean that they were literally flexible, facile. They could go in any direction you wanted to go. And I learned a lot from that. And I really admire that and respect that because I'm like that. You know, if you show up late on a set, you are in big trouble. Like, they don't like that. So I love that everybody showed up on time. I'm a very punctual person. So, yeah.
You are.
I might have been here early today.
Not that I'm surprised that you are, but I will say this, and I'm not going to say any names, but anytime that I'm working on a television project in California, and I did many seasons on certain shows, there are people that will be two or 3 hours late. And it was like, the bigger star you, and that's this is an off mic conversation. And the bigger star you are, they felt like the later they could be, and they would be two or three sometimes 4 hours late. Oh. And but oh, who am I? I'm like,
no, that's wrong.
I'm not top of the call sheets. I'm down a couple spots. And so what do? You just wait around. And I was like, man, this is not the environment that I am comfortable being in.
I know. I don't like that at all. I have not experienced that, like what you're describing. That would never fly on anything I'm working on.
And I just thought, well, I guess this is California, LA culture. Because in Nashville, it's like the Rita Wilson life. You show up on time. And because other people have showed up on time and you owe them that respect.
That's right.
But so you're telling me everybody in Los Angeles just doesn't pick when they come to work?
I have never experienced that. But I know that if that happens, it should not fly. So I don't know what we're going to talk off mic. Yeah, I got to get the deets on this.
I do want to get to the album in a second and how you landed all these amazing artists or how they landed on your album. I mean, both are really cool things to even for like Jimmy. Like he was super pumped to be on the album.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, Jimmy, he had called and asked me to do something on Betty James, and we did a song called When This Is Over with Torrin Wells and the Oak Ridge Boys. And I was so, thrilled that he asked me because I didn't know him at that time. He also did Dancing with the Stars.
He did.
Yes.
I talked to them a lot through it. Yes.
I went down to see him because he was so good. It was so exhilarating to watch him. Met his mom and his uncle. It was really very fun. Anyway, so when we were going through the process of selecting songs, one that I had in my mind for Jimmy was the one that he literally came out of his mouth. I said, I have a couple of songs I want to, run by you. And he said, yes. And I said, okay. And he said, I'll be there. And I was like, oh my gosh, Jimmy, I love that song so much. Yes, that's the one I was thinking of. Let's do it. So
he's great.
He's
great. You guys did that song wonderfully together. And we'll walk through the whole project in a second because really a great list of talent, that, I mean, and you included, that is all on this project. I do want to go back, though, because I'm curious about kind of your roots and even what it was like growing up. Like how people turn out the way they are, right? Like I
love this.
I grew up in a trailer park, and I think a lot of that influenced where I am and what I do now. Like mm-hmm. no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. When I was five, a lot of that stuff that happened to me still, buried deep down, still exists.
Exactly.
So what was your house like at 7 years old? Who's there? Where do you live?
Wow, that is such a great question. Well, I'm a first-generation American. My mom was Greek, and my dad was Bulgarian, and they both had to escape their various countries because during World War II, my mom's village was on the border of Greece and Albania. And as things got tough, they knew they had to leave. So my mom had to cross over these mountains by herself in the middle of the night to get into Greece, to get to Athens, to eventually restore her American passport because she was born in America.
Wow. How old was she when she had to do that?
She was 19 when she left by herself. Just with this backpack, I call it a backpack, but it was something on her back that carried this sterling silver flatware that they had brought from New York.
Did you ever talk to her about that? Like what was going through her mind? Like,
oh, yeah.
When she made that decision where, because that's a hard decision, even if you know you have to do it, it's a hard decision to go, okay, now I have to go.
Well, the harder decision was that her mother was there because her dad had died when they went there on a vacation at 4 years old, just to visit the village. And so her mother was a widow with four kids at a very young age. And they were supposed to leave all together, but they got word that there was going to be a letter coming. And they knew in this small village that if somebody came to deliver a letter and no one was there to receive it, that's unusual. Where'd they go? Mm. You know where everybody is. So my mom offered to stay back to get the letter so that the family could go ahead of her, and then there would be no suspicion aroused.
Like cover,
exactly. And then my dad, he was born in Greece and raised in Bulgaria, and oh my God, his story is so, I don't know how much time we have.
Yeah, we have all the time.
It's
a story that you...
It's who I am.
Yeah, that's
what I
want to
know. It's exactly who I am, and we'll lead back to Christian Bush in a second. It's so sad, but he met a woman, he had a baby, and they were married, had a baby, and on December 26th, the baby died. And on December 26th, the baby was born. On December 29th, the mother died, his wife. And 4 months later, the baby died. His name was Emil. I didn't know this at all. I did that show, Who Do You Think You Are? And all of this came out. My dad never told me that. So he tried to escape Bulgaria, I think just out of sheer unhappiness. And my dad really loved the idea of America. So tries to escape, gets caught, goes, they say to him, if you try to escape again, we're going to make you an enemy of the state. And we're going to put you in jail. He does it again. He gets caught and they put him in a labor camp. And this labor camp was one of the most severe labor camps that at the time, communist labor camp. He gets a job. It's a coal sort of mining labor camp. And he notices that at the night shift, there are these trains that come in and they pick up amounts of coal and they take them away.
It feels like a movie. I mean, it's suspenseful and I'm nervous watching the movie and I know it's not real, but this is, you're telling me a real story about your dad.
Yes. And he bribes one of the guards with a carton of cigarettes that I guess somebody gave him as a gift on visiting day. And he wanted to work the night shift because he knew if he worked the night shift, he had a plan. So he sees the trains come in. He's working the night shift. He says, hey, can we go down and get some more firewood for the fire? They were on a break. It's like 2 a.m. And the guard says, yeah, sure. He says, can I take Richard with me? Because, you know, easier to bring more wood back. Mm-hmm. He goes, yeah, sure. So they go down there and they slotted themselves between the trains where they couldn't be seen. And they started running. 20 minutes later, they figured it out. He could hear the dogs barking, and they just ran and ran and ran and ran. Eventually got away, made their way to Turkey. I'm trying to make it very slow, quick.
You don't have to make it quick.
Got on a boat that was, my dad got a job on a freighter boat shoveling coal and made his way to Philadelphia and jumped the ship. But what he did was he took Richard with him as a stowaway because there was no work for Richard. And so he was stowed away in the engine room. And Richard and my dad made it to America. And Richard went on to New Zealand and became a very, very successful businessman.
Wow.
Yeah. And so here's the thing about that is that I felt like when you said, what's it like at 7 years old? I was keenly aware of how lucky my parents felt that they were. And they always said things like, my dad was always, God bless America, every single day. And I felt like, I'm really lucky. I live in America. You know, I was really proud. And he never took that for granted. And Christian and I wrote a song because I thought to myself, I wonder if courage is handed down. Does courage get handed down? Do we learn that from somewhere? Do people, can they do it? And I thought, we wrote a song called Heart He Handed Down, Christian Bush and I, because I really thought it was for my children, for my kids, like to say, this guy lives in you, you know, he's...
I'd like to ask a couple questions about your dad, if that's okay. Because holy moly, the fact that he first tried to escape, right? Just to try to leave for a better life.
Yes.
A lot of bravery there. He got caught. Yeah. I'd probably be like, you know what? I'm good.
I'm good.
Yeah, I almost got. I don't want to go. I don't want to go to jail. Yeah. I don't want to be labeled a terrorist. Basically, is what they said to him. He does it again. Gets caught again. Okay. So now, though, if they would have caught him a third time, trying to leave labor camp,
he would have been shot and killed.
They would have killed him.
Absolutely. And when I went back to do that program, they took me to the Hall of Records, let's say, from the Bulgarian government, and he was listed as an enemy of the state. He had a number. If they ever caught him, he would have been put in jail for life. Who knows what else? The other thing I wanted to go back to is, so his first son, Emil, was born on December 26th. Well, my sister, her daughter, firstborn daughter, was born on December 26th. And my youngest son, Truman, is born on December 26th. And I thought, all those birthdays that my dad, on December, he was celebrating his grandchildren, and also his son.
And he was there to see them be born? He was there to see it, yeah.
Yes, yes. He died when he was 89. My mom died when she was 93.
That also is, they lived to be a wonderfully old age.
Yes, yes.
After,
and still married.
All of that.
And when I ask what you were like at 7, and I can move to 13 now because I see the picture of your parents, and it's a vague picture, but it's a strong picture, right?
Like right.
I would assume that the values they taught you, even maybe not always purposeful, but just because what was instilled in them was, like, we don't stop. Like, we, if it's something we're passionate about, that's what we value. That's what we, I assume values were just so big in your house.
And no, it was huge. Like, my dad was a bartender. My mom didn't work, and my parents were not educated, but they were very intelligent, and they had enormous character. And it was really fun because my mom also, you know, she did everything. She could sew, cook. She made our curtains, our bedspreads, our clothes. Like, if I went shopping for a pair of jeans, I'd be like, oh, these are cute. And she's like, I can make those. I'm like, no, Mom, I want a pair of jeans. I want jeans I can buy at a store. Okay. But I really learned that value of hard work because I saw how hard my dad worked. And because he would get tips, he'd bring the tips home and he'd bring them home. And you know those purple felt bags from Crown Royal bottles?
We used to keep changing them.
Okay, exactly.
Yeah.
He would bring his tips home in that, the coins. On Saturday mornings, we'd take them all out, separate out the nickels, the dimes, the quarters, the pennies, put them in the little paper rolls that, you know, you take to the bank, write the account number on and take them that way. And I thought to myself, my God, like, he raised a family of three in Hollywood, never had debt. And I didn't even get a credit card until I was 17 because I was like, Dad, I can't get a credit card unless you get a credit card. So can you please get one so that I can have one on your account? And I think that's amazing because you probably can't do that nowadays, you know?
That's why you're never late. I mean, that's true. That's probably, like, deep down in your guts, that's like, I'm not late because I need to respect the other people that are showing up on time.
Yeah.
Because my parents taught me.
Yes.
Like, that's a really amazing comeback to that part of the conversation here where you're like, yeah, I'm not late. Yeah, you know why you're not late even though you're a big star? Because your parents have instilled this in you and it's still sitting with you today.
That's so cool. That's very, very nice to think of that way. Yeah, they were just really good people. And I think having parents that were immigrants and had accents and things like that, I remember absolutely feeling like people sort of treated them differently. And I don't mean that in a positive way, because they just assumed that they weren't smart or not American in that sense, born in America. And there was something about that, I think, that allowed it, in a way, it teaches you empathy, because I knew, like, these people are awesome. My parents are fantastic people, even though somebody may not be treating them that way. So you kind of connect to that in a way. So 7 years old, I was a really happy kid and very, you know, like, it was just a very typical childhood. Even though it was Hollywood, California, it was still very typical. Could have been any town, USA.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Two final questions about your parents. When do you think that they were the most proud of you?
I think they were always proud of me. You know, my parents offered me an incredible foundation of a home base so that I could go off and try different things. And they never stopped me from doing that. They never said, no, that's scary. We don't want you to act, or that's weird. You know, they definitely wanted me to go to college, which I did for about 2 years and just kept working, and I couldn't stay in school. But I think they were always proud, and they never held me back from pursuing anything. So most proud, I don't know, probably.
Do you think the pride was because you worked hard? I mean, just to boil it all down, do you think the pride wasn't because of some award or a job or accomplishment? It was just because you were consistent and worked hard, and it's something that they had.
I think so. I think in a way, yes, because I think you can recognize that in your children. You know, and my brother and sister also worked hard, but I think they recognized that we would be okay. Like, you know, all parents want their kids to grow up and be okay. You know, you're going to be able to work, have a roof over your head, that sort of thing. So I think they were proud that we were functioning human beings.
And I'm going to flip it. Now, when were you the most proud that they were your parents?
Oh my God. Oh, this, like, if I tell this story, I'm going to totally cry.
It's safe space here. you couldn't be in a safer space.
Okay, I'll tell this story. Oh my God, this is I'm going to try to tell it without crying. I was about 23, and I was always incredibly proud of my parents. But I was dating somebody who was like from a wealthier family or something. And we went on a double date with his best friend and the girl that guy was dating. And I was intimidated. You know, they were definitely in a different economic strata than, you know, I was raised in. And the girl asked me what my dad did for a living. And I said, my dad's a bartender. And she said, why do you say it like that? Because I must have just like kind of made a face or something like. And she said, my dad died. I would give anything to have my dad here. And from that point on, everything changed because I was proud of my parents. And from that point on, I never, ever hesitated or wavered in being proud of my parents and being proud of my dad and what he did for a living, because those values and what he gave me is so much more valuable than anything else that the world could have given me. Way to go, Bobby.
I love your parents. I never even got to meet them. Your parents just...
Well, they're here in the room right now.
Well, that's...
They're amazing people.
I appreciate your generosity with sharing that about who you are, because that is a lot of who you are.
Thank you. Thank you. But I can't believe you asked that question, because, like, I had never been prouder. I mean, it was almost like, what does your dad do for a living? My dad is a bartender. And he has raised a family of three without any debt, without hurting anybody, without doing anything shady. He's just a good guy. That, how can you not be proud of that?
I can see, too, that you'll go into a songwriting room, just from this conversation here, and be extremely vulnerable. And I think that's the first and hardest wall to break down for anybody that's trying to get to that level of songwriting that feels pure and authentic. Because a lot of people can rhyme words and write a decent melody. And there's a lot of people in this town, a lot of these rooms, that can do it even with you. But to be able to break down those walls and share stories like that in a room with two people, with three people, and go, this is me. How do we make this into something that... like, you did it here with me. And we only met once before.
It's the right question.
I can see that as vulnerable as you're being right now, it's a place that you still go with confidence. Like, you were proud to tell that story. You knew it was going to make you emotional. Do you ever?
Because I feel like, you know, shame is such a powerful thing. And so many people deal with that. And what I feel shame is in some ways is just a barrier to the vulnerability, because you're trying to avoid it in some ways. And if you can, I felt like, you know, if you can eliminate that, then just get to the truth. I've been very lucky in that the very first songwriter, the person who told me I should be writing a song, is Kara DiGuardi. And Kara asked this one very simple question. I said, I can't be a songwriter. I, you know, don't play music and read music or play an instrument. She goes, neither do I. Do you have something you want to say? And when she said that, I was like, wait a minute, is that part of it? She said, I'm going to write your first two songs with you. So she could show me the process, and she did. And I wrote it, that song was called Grateful with Jason Reeves and Kara DiGuardi. And that showed me, I see how this can work. And then all of a sudden it's like a cascade of ideas and feelings and thoughts. And, you know, it's one of the most satisfying experiences that I've ever been, you know, lucky enough to do. I never thought it would happen.
And the feelings, because I've written a couple books, and the feelings from writing books or even doing a 5-hour radio show where I'm talking about things happening to me in my personal life and different struggles and highlights and the hard things to talk about, they're never not hard, but you understand that almost the harder, more vulnerable you are, the more people and can get, even yourself, the more you can actually get from it.
Yeah.
So you realize also after a few times of feeling unsafe and it ends up not being death.
Right.
You're like, okay, I can go back and feel that way again and not have to worry about dying, which I worry.
Yes.
And so have you felt that in songwriting where you're able to get vulnerable quicker now because, and it doesn't feel good, but you understand it's okay.
Yes.
Because I'm being taken care of by the people.
Yes.
And we're doing something for a reason.
That's right. And I feel, again, if people are there writing to write with me and I'm there to write with them, we have to be in that space. And it's just almost like a requirement. This is required behavior for a songwriting session. And, you know, sometimes you don't get there all the time, but it's definitely a good starting point.
Why Nashville? Why country music? I mean, just a general vague question, because I don't know the answer to it. I know you love it. I have friends of mine that love you and say she's legitimate in that it's her care and her passion, but I don't know why.
All right, I'll tell you. When I was growing up, we had just AM radio, okay? So all those genres were on there. So you're hearing R&B and soul and pop and country and, you know.
And from forever away, because AM radio traveled all the way across the country.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was everywhere. So all these genres are coming at you every single day. And for me, it really was storytelling. And I would imagine things. I would imagine the scenarios. And the first song that I absolutely thought, I want to sing this song, like stand up and sing this song, was Ode to Billy Joe by Bobby Gentry. It was just, this girl had something to say here. You know, there was a story. So I knew Johnny Cash because of A Boy Called Sue. I knew Dolly Parton. I knew Loretta Lynn, may she rest in peace, Tammy Wynette, all those people were coming through the radio. So Jeannie C. Riley, Harper Valley PTA, huge. And things crossed over back then. So when I started writing with Kara, we were writing in LA, she suggested Nashville, and Kristen Chenoweth suggested Nashville. She said, you're going to...
Was Kristen living here at the time?
She was living in LA at the time. And she said, you are going to love it down there. Go down there. And I had a manager at the time that was based in Nashville. So I started coming down and they started setting up rights. And I realized this is exactly like, this is the storytelling capital of the world. And when you come to a place where songwriting is revered and music is revered, it's called Music City for a reason, you understand that it's valued here. And that, I think, is why I came down here and started it, but also people were very open and very receptive, which I am so thankful for. I why would they have accepted me? It's like, oh yeah, okay, you know, some chick from Hollywood wants to come down here and write music. But it was, for me, it was beyond that. It was sort of like what I always really wanted to do. Like when you think of something you love to do when you were a kid. By the way, did you have anything like that you loved to do when you were a kid?
Be on a stage, you know, find...
But there you go.
Yeah, it was that.
You were probably entertaining your friends.
Yeah.
Mine was singing. It was like, I want to get up and sing.
Were you a good singer as a kid?
I have no idea.
Did you ever sing as a kid in front of more than 25 people? Like age 13, did you ever sing?
No, never like that. Never.
School?
I would just get... No, I would do school plays and things like that. Sing in the...
solos?
I sang, oh my God, you're reminding me. Duh. I sang in a church singing group called The Way Home. And we sang songs like... Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Like Simon and Garfunkel?
Yes. Yeah. And we sang it, you know, it was a choir. We were like maybe, we were a singing group. So it was boys and girls. We were 13, 14 years old. We wore patchwork skirts and white blouses.
Have you not thought of this in a while?
Not thought of this in a while. Clearly, I'm like, oh yeah, I was singing in front of more than 25 people. That is right.
Did you get a solo? Were you ever the solo?
No, nobody had solos. Mm. It was just sort of like the church leader played guitar and we were like, you know, wholesome patchwork. What did the boys wear? I think they wore like brown cords and, you know,
did you find like fulfillment as a kid in this group? Were you like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing? What, like there was the early stages of that?
Totally loved it. I was obsessed with it. And then that was in junior high, and which we now call middle school. But then when I went to high school, there wasn't anything like that continued on. Like the church group, singing group didn't continue on. And by then, you know, I had found cheerleading. Like, just yelling.
You found
not
high school.
Singing.
I found high school. Yeah.
Exactly.
When you graduated high school, good student. You know, you said you went to college for a couple of years. What kind of student were you?
Not very present because I was always working.
Working doing what?
Acting. So by then, at 16, you know, I did the Brady Bunch.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes, I got my Screen Actors card.
I did not know that.
Yes, Bobby, would you like me to do the cheer for you? Because
Wait,
I played a cheerleader.
I didn't know. Okay, so what role? You're a cheerleader.
I played Pat Conway.
With who?
With Greg and Marsha. Okay, so this was the episode. Greg had a girlfriend. She was running for cheerleader. Marsha was also running for cheerleader. But the girlfriend was kind of using Greg because he was a judge of the cheerleading competition. And so when the time came, it was a tie vote and he was supposed to be the tiebreaker and it was going to get him into deep, hot water with his girlfriend. So instead, he chose me, the cheerleader who really was a cheerleader in real life.
I've seen every episode of Brady Bunch, and I can vaguely remember that. I did not know.
Yes.
That was your first role?
Yeah, that's how I got my Screen Actors Guild card.
Was that show big, though, when you went?
Like
when
huge.
Were you starstruck by the different
everyone. Mm-hmm. Like Maureen McCormick drove a chocolate brown Mercedes onto the Paramount Studios lot. You know, like, oh my God, you know, she's driving a brand new, and she was only 15 and a half. She had her permit, but she could drive, you know, with an adult in the car. So she had a Mercedes, which was like, oh, this is crazy. A 15-year-old with a Mercedes. And the producers were the same ones that produced Gilligan's Island and all the shows that I loved. And during the filming, Elizabeth Montgomery, who played Samantha on Bewitched, came to the set and said hi. So she was also one of my heroes. Like, oh,
yeah, exactly. Hey, do the nose. So you're 16 and you're working. Are you like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do? I know I have school, but this is what I really want to focus on. Or was it just... It was so much fun. Like, what is it for a 16-year-old?
It was so much fun. And also, it was consistent. At that point, I also had an agent now. So I got my Screen Actors Guild. I get an agent. I'm now doing a ton of commercials. And I just kept working and working, and I never stopped. And there was a point where I realized, oh, my goodness, I think this is my job. I was going to college to become a communications major. Like,
you know, How did you graduate high school, though, honestly? Like, if
oh, no, because I worked. Oh, well, we had a program at high school called 4-4. So you could go to school for 4 hours and then work part-time for 4 hours. And so I got them to agree that modeling after school for 4 hours and doing auditions for commercials was a job, and it was, because I was constantly going on auditions.
I guess there's so many kids there that act or in the arts where those programs are probably at a lot of the different schools because they have to be.
Yes.
Here,
yes.
That would happen because there's not a lot of kids doing that, but that makes a lot of sense.
But it's much more prevalent now. And you go to universities now, too, and they all have theater departments, film departments, because it's just, you know, there's a need for more content and people who make the content. So I think that's not going anywhere.
Was there ever a place in your career early on where you thought, you know, I want to sing?
Oh, yeah.
But to do that, I may have to take 2 steps back. Like, did that ever cross your mind?
I really wanted to. And I remember having a very specific moment that, you know, I had a job as a ticket taker at this concert venue called the Universal Amphitheater. And it was an outdoor venue, and everybody came through there in the 70s. So it was, you know, Joni Mitchell, Carole King, James Taylor, Jackson Brown, Elton John, the Eagles, you know, you name it, they came through. And I remember sitting on the steps. I would take the tickets. Then they would allow us to watch the show. And I remember sitting down on the steps and having this pit in my stomach, like, how do you get up there and be a singer? How do you get to do that? You know, how's Linda Ronstadt up there? How do you find a band? Do I have to play an instrument? Like, it was like a palpable pit in your stomach, like a longing and aching, a yearning, and not knowing how to make that happen. And back then, if by the time I started really becoming established, if you were an actor, you stayed in the acting lane. If you were a singer, you stayed in the singing lane. And there really wasn't crossover or any overlapping that happened back then. It was just, that's what you do. And if you were on Broadway, that was different. But Broadway people didn't do film.
Mm-hmm.
It was so weird. Now everybody can do everything.
Yeah. I mean, like, the mid-90s was kind of the first.
Yes.
The first layer of people. Even then, it was kind of weird, like when Jennifer Lopez would do it in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
But now everybody does everything.
Exactly.
You know?
So, I think that's good. I don't think that we should be limited. Everybody's creative. Creative people do more than one thing.
Did your friends know you could sing? Like, were you, let's say you're back in the trailer. Did they know you as Rita, who could sing really well, but is also a great actress? I'm just finding where...
Probably no, but I went to drama school. I had done this small play called Vanities. And the director of that play said, well, you seem to be liking to be on the stage. Have you ever had any formal training? And I'm like, not formal training, no. He said, well, you should probably go to get some, like, Shakespeare stage training. I was like, where do you do that? Like, stage? You mean like a soundstage at Paramount? Like, I literally, I don't think I'd ever even seen a play. And he said, oh, there's these schools that you can go to. And he put me in touch with a woman that had come from this program in London at the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art. So I applied and I got in. While I was there, they would have us do different things to kind of get us out of our comfort zone. And one of them was they assigned me to sing this opera thing.
English?
English. It was actually a Rossini opera, but I had to sing it as a duet with another woman. And this woman was an amazing singer. And I thought, I'm not ever going to be pulling this off. But anyways, I did it. And I remember one of my teachers came up to me and said, I didn't know you could sing. I was like, am I? Was you call that singing? I don't know. But it was nice to hear that, you know, in a way.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com.
TECOVAS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
I'm always curious about people that have done in one part of their career, one part of their professional life, massive things, but then they go somewhere else and they still get really nervous even when things aren't as massive. And this has happened to me a few times. And you know, if I'm doing radio or TV and I switch over and I have to do something in an art that's not the same. And I want to take it to the Opry in you.
Okay.
Because I would imagine that you're a little nervous when you're singing at the Grand Ole Opry. Even though we could go down every single thing you've ever done, people would be like, why would you be nervous at the Grand Ole Opry? But my intuition is that that means enough to you that you would be really nervous going out there for the first time.
You have no idea. First of all, when you do it for the first time, they put you in the very first dressing
room. Where every single person and all the quotes are up. And
exactly.
Yeah.
All the quotes are on the wall. All the photographs are on the wall. Everybody leaves their door open. People come by and welcome you. I know you've heard the expression of rubber legs. I had never experienced that until doing the Opry.
Really?
You come off the stage and it feels as if your legs are like noodles.
Which I think it would be hard for people to believe this was my point, because again, you've done some really massive things in our eyes, right? When it comes to movies, television, and now you're at the Opry, which is a big deal to us. But you're like, we're like, Rita's nervous.
The Opry is, everybody knows. Everybody knows what the Opry is. Everybody knows. You stand in that circle, and there is weight and there is power in that because of all the people who have stood in that circle for, not, is it 100 years mm-hmm. now? Yeah, 100 years. And there's history that comes along with that. And we'll talk about this later, but even in this album of duets, when we were recording it, I felt that the history of those songs, not just the moment that the songwriters wrote them, but everything that came after that, the original singer, all the people who've covered those songs, the people who have sung those songs in their lives, have used them for different occasions, there's a power to the history of things like that, even though they may be ephemeral. And that's what you're experiencing.
The first time that I played the Opry, I remember not being able to see anybody's face because the lights. The second time I played the Opry, it wasn't the same because I had experienced it and I wasn't as nervous, right? But I remember being so nervous that the lights seemed way too bright.
Yes.
And I could see nobody's face and I wouldn't even look all the way into the crowd. And I just was like, I don't know how this is going. And there were people, everybody's there for your first time.
Like I'm getting chills, like, as you're saying this. It's scary already.
The first time is more of an experience, but I actually found the second time more enjoyable because I got to appreciate the moment and go, okay, this is awesome. The first time I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? Yeah, it's like you're questioning why you even deserve to be here the first time.
But then you have people like Jeannie Seely who comes up and says, you know, God, we're so happy to have you. Thank you so much for being here. Everybody is so great. One of the guys, Larry Paxton, played on my first album. He's in the Opry band. The Opry band is so amazing that, you know, literally they got your back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's all of those elements that conspire to make you feel more comfortable, but no one will ever be able to not have the rubber legs coming off that stage. No way.
One more question before we get into the album. It's that you do come to town a decent amount to write because people say, hey, we wrote with Rita today, or she was in town, but I think you're only in town one day now, right? Is it just
one day? I'm kind of like traveling around.
Yeah, when you talk about work ethic, like you come to town and you work and you get the work done and then you go back and you do other work, but it's like you're dedicated to this.
Yes.
And this is not an easy trip for someone who has to go to LA. It's not either way, it ain't easy there, it ain't easy back.
It's true, it's true.
Why?
Because there's love there, and you know what we do for love. We bend over backwards. We want to make things happen. I have a really wonderful community of friends here, songwriters, artists, people that live here. That the only regret that I have is that, you know, we didn't get an apartment here like 10 years ago when I first started coming down. Because now I come and I look downtown and I'm counting cranes. Like, whoa, I think the last time I was here, I counted like 12 or something in the downtown area. Yeah. It's like, whoa.
We have a barn back there if you guys want to stay there. It's fully built now. You can stay there.
Thank you.
But I want to play. So now because of legal rules, we can only play up to a certain amount of time of these songs. So I'm going to roll through all of them because I think this whole duet is so good. It's such a great project.
Thank you.
With Keith Urban, Crazy Love. Here you go. First of all, obviously, a song that makes me think of different times in my life, of all the different times I heard the song by different people, right? That is such a wonderful song. Why Keith Urban for that song specifically?
Keith has one of the greatest voices ever, you know? There is something about Keith can reinterpret things, and I know you've seen him in concert. He's an amazing live performer. But his voice... On what do we call it, tape? His voice on tape registers and his tone is so beautiful. I don't know. I thought of him for that song and it never quite left my mind. You know, it kind of had to be him.
With Smokey Robinson, Where's the Love?
Where is the love?
I mean, Smokey Robinson, that's... Just seeing that name.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you know Smokey Robinson?
No. I had met him, you know, in passing. Didn't really know him. okay, he is one of the greatest songwriters and performers of all time. When you just think of the songs that he has, Tracks of My Tears, Cruisin',
Tears of a Clown.
Yeah. You know, it goes on and on, and he's written for himself, he's written for others. The other day, we did Good Morning America together, and we sang Where is the Love? Okay, you know, you know when you do a show like that, you're up at 4 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Guess who's right on time?
Really?
Smokey Robinson's a little early. He's there. We do the rehearsal. He's amazing. It's surreal. That's another moment where you're like, you're looking at this person who's got these clear green eyes that you feel you know because of your history with the music and knowing who he is, looking across from him and singing to each other. That's like ridiculous. He loved the song. That's the most fun part. He loved the song, because if the artist didn't love the song, we would go to another choice and say, okay, what else? Here's another one.
That's so cool. Smokey Robinson's so cool.
He is so cool.
Willie Nelson, Slip Sliding Away.
Slip Sliding Away.
I mean, Willie, what can I say about Willie? I listen to
everything.
Him. I don't even know where to start, because I have all these different decades of my Willie experience, being with my grandma, with my mom. Having him on my show, being a fan, like Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain, one of my favorite top three songs of all time.
God, that song.
And so, again, it's almost like I'm in awe of all these people, and I just want to go like, well, what was it like? So it's almost like, what was it like to be able to do a song with Willie Nelson?
Well, what I love, first of all, surreal, okay. My amazing co-producer, Matt Rawlings, was living in Nashville. He produced and won Grammys for Willie's Sinatra album, My Way, and also the Gershwin album. And he was the one who knew Willie, so he made the ask to Willie. But in this album of duets of 70s cover songs, what we were trying to do, or like what I thought would be a cool idea, was, all right, how do you make it different? Well, it's duets. But these songs typically haven't been done as duets. I knew Willie liked Paul Simon, and I thought, wow, this would be perhaps a cool song. So we presented Slip Sliding Away, a great song. And now it felt to me like some interpretation of a woman saying this about this man and a man saying this about this woman. And to hear, there's so much poignancy in Willie's voice, and when he says something like, the nearer your destination, the more you're slip sliding away. It gives you chills, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, Willie, you're not going anywhere for a really long time. You're gonna be, I love you, and you're here to stay.
With Jackson Browne, here is Let It Be Me.
Let it be me.
I mean, all these songs are so good, too. It's like it's reminding me of all the times. Even Slip Sliding Away, like, I have, like, even three cover versions of the originals.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, an Aqualung cover version. Even, like,
Aqualung.
And all of it's, like... I love these songs so much in many different places. But Jackson Browne, one of the coolest.
The coolest. And, you know, in the 70s, he was considered like the songwriter's songwriter. In the Eagles documentary, like Don Henley and Glenn Frey are looking over there like, Jackson lived below us. And, you know, we'd be like upstairs partying and Jackson would be down there writing and we'd be hearing it, and the song would be getting better and better. And he is like that. And, you know, there's a cool book called Rock Me on the Water, which is about 1974, this year of music and politics and TV and film. And there's a quote in there by Jackson that he talked about never hanging out at the Troubadour. Troubadour was our great local club, because he said, I knew that if I was at the Troubadour, I wasn't at home writing music. That's how dedicated he was as a songwriter. He's an incredible person.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
With Leslie Hodum Jr., Massachusetts. I mean, what do you say?
He's like butter, his voice. It's just so, like, it literally melts you. An incredible talent. I had met him only once when I had seen Hamilton on day 3 of previews. You know, that's before the show is even open. They're still kind of tweaking it. And he opened his mouth to sing as Aaron Burr in that musical. And I couldn't take my eyes off of him, and I couldn't take my ears off of him. He was just incredible. You know, he's a wonderful actor, a wonderful singer, songwriter.
Did you ever get to a point where you're like, I can't believe everybody's saying yes. Or I can't believe all these people are saying yes. Because it's like the coolest group of people I've ever seen all together. And I'm just basically halfway through it right now.
I felt like there was something that was fortuitous for us, and that was that we were in year 2 of the pandemic, and I think people still were not touring and people were home. And when the project, you know, the idea was pitched to them, I think they could respond because it was songs that they knew, songs they could just relate to and connect to. And I think we got lucky in that way too.
One of the ones I was really struck by the first time I heard it, because I love Elvis Costello. I love Elvis.
I love it. He's so good.
He's so good. Here is Fire. Fire. And maybe it's, I love Elvis Costello. Maybe it's the tone of the guitar, you know.
Yeah, I think that Elvis played guitar on some of that. And I think that is either Dave LaVita or Dean Parks on that solo, which is, you know, two incredible guitarists.
And the song's great too. I mean, Forever. Fire. I mean,
there's this one thing that Elvis does, which I think is so amazing. And that song was written by Bruce Springsteen, and the Pointer Sisters made it famous. But Bruce had actually written it for Elvis Presley.
I didn't know that.
And he sent it. He doesn't know if Elvis ever heard the song because Elvis died. And then a guy called Robert Gordon cut it. I don't know if the Pointer Sisters heard that version or if they heard a demo, but whatever. They were the ones that made it famous. But there is a part in this song that Elvis Costello sings when he sings "And When We Kiss, Fire." He draws out "kiss" as if there is so much frustration and angst. Like if he doesn't get to kiss this woman, he's going to go bananas, and then fire is like this big exclamation point, you know? I just loved his take on that.
Here's our buddy Tim McGraw on If. And if the world should stop revolving. Have you got a chance to spend time with Tim?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, you know, Tim is like an encyclopedic jukebox. He's his own, you know, iPod of music when it comes to the 70s. He knows so much, and he often does 70s songs as sort of like a pre-stage sort of, you know, let's get together and sing before we go on. And I had never heard him sing like this, but he was a Bread fan, so I love that he picked this song.
We mentioned Jimmy earlier, and here is I'll Be There.
I'll be there.
I mean, the Michael Jackson, Jackson 5, just look over my shoulder.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Jimmy's able to do that as a mature man.
I know.
Where it doesn't sound creepy. It doesn't sound like it's like purely derivative of Michael, but it's still like you go, oh, yeah.
No.
You can even hear Michael doing it. Just look over my shoulder.
Exactly. Like, and I was like, I was glad that he kept that in because I don't know, you know, you never know if that's an improv when the Jacksons did it or if it was something that was written. But I love that he left that in there. You know, he's an amazing singer. And he told me once that he came to Nashville. When he was in L.A., they said, you're too country. And then when he came to Nashville, he was starting to hear, well, you're too pop. He is the perfect combination. I think he's defined his sound so beautifully, and he does it so well. And I'm so thrilled with all the success that he has had, because he so deserves it. He's an amazing human.
It doesn't even feel forced.
No.
Because again, like you said, was that just them improv? Yeah, just ad-libbing all the way, you know, through the song. I'm like, just look up your show. But and he does that, but it doesn't sound like he's trying to force it just for the sake of it.
No.
And that really struck me the first time I heard it. I was like, hey, exactly. Jimmy, that's awesome. Vince Gill, Without You. I mean, Vince Gill, the hardest person to cover in the whole world, because he sings like an angel.
Anything.
and at a high, very high.
He takes you to heaven for a little visit when you sing with him.
Yeah, awesome. Heaven, Josh Groban, too. I mean, yes. We could do both these together.
But one thing about Vince that I love, and we were like, okay, here are the songs. He had been on my first album. He sang harmonies on Faithless Love, and that album was called AMFM Cover Songs also. And I didn't know him when, you know, Fred Mullins, my producer of that first album, asked Vince to do the song. When I asked him about this album, and I said, look, is there a song that you love? I have some ideas. And he said, Without You. And I love the song.
That was his suggestion?
It was his suggestion.
That's cool.
Because he said he would sing that song with his family.
That's
with his
really
girls,
cool.
And yeah, Amy, it was very cool.
The last track, speaking of people that take you to heaven, Josh Groban, here's Songbird.
I'm a songbird, so singing like they know the score.
And vocally, Vince and Josh, they don't sing anywhere near each other, but all that just kind of works together. Those two tracks, I listened to them together, I was like, man, I don't know why you put them at 9 and 10, maybe it was the songs, maybe not, but I really liked, and I don't want to say juxtaposition, but yeah, it still felt like that, like the perfect combination of songs beside each other with you and those two.
I love that. You know, I think it's important how you sequence an album. I still listen to albums when my friends or any album comes out that I'm interested in. I listen to it from start to finish in one sitting. I feel like that's what the artist made the record for, and, you know, they're telling a story. And so this was really about these conversations of love, and Songbird to me felt like a good ending, because it feels like vows people might be saying to each other. If you really love someone, you know, I'll do this for you. You know, I got your back, sort of thing.
The album, Rita Wilson, Now and Forever Duets. Go stream it. Go download it. Go buy it. People still buy CDs sometimes.
I do.
You know, I tell you, I was with a couple of my nieces last night, and even yesterday, they're from Los Angeles, and they came and they love country music, so I took them to the Opry and took them all backstage.
Oh,
and
that's
I can
great.
Do the tour myself now, because I'm there so often. I take them all around. And I said, hey, we have some CDs. They're like, CDs?
What's that?
And I was like, you know what? Never mind. We're going to move on. So, but it's up. The album's wonderful. It really is wonderful.
Thank you so much, Bobby.
Rita will also be making a return to New York City's Cafe Carlyle for a special two-week residency, October 25th through November 5th. For a ticket, go to @RitaWilson. Which is your Instagram,
yeah,
socials.
Exactly.
It's all up there. It's really great. It really is really great.
Thank you, Bobby.
I enjoyed sometimes, and I'll be honest with you, I don't enjoy having to listen to things if I don't enjoy them before I meet with somebody.
Yes.
Luckily, I'd already listened to some of yours, because I have friends that were kind of bragging about it, but it's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
It's wonderful. The final question I have for you is, one of the people on my show, they were at CMA Fest, and you were at CMA Fest, and they were just sitting in a random place. And they ran into you and your husband sitting in the random normal people seats. And they were like, why would they be sitting in the random normal people seats?
Where would we be otherwise? When we were at Keith's show.
Maybe.
Yeah, we were at Keith's show.
At CMA Fest?
Yeah.
But my point is, what do you mean, where would you be? You would be in the fancy, where people can't bother you, like with the wine and the champagne and frou-frou.
That's not really getting the experience, is it, though? Like, and by the way, we've done that and it's great. But if you really want to get an experience of being like at the show, you got to be at the show.
She was shocked. She's like, she just came across you guys sitting with the people. And she was like, nobody was bothering them because nobody thought that was really them sitting with the people. It was like seeing Jerry Seinfeld at a gas station in Mississippi. You're like, there's no way that's really him, so I ain't even going to try to talk to that person.
Did that happen to you?
No, but that's like my analogy of like you just go, that can't.
He likes super unleaded, by the way.
Well, I do believe that. So you guys do that. You will go and pursue.
Listen, don't forget, I was a ticket taker at a concert venue. I used to sit on the steps and watch the concerts. That's how you get the show.
Well, this has been a real treat for me. We've done over an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
This has been a real treat.
This has been a real treat for me. I had no idea you were going to get me to cry like a little teeny tiny baby.
You're very generous with this interview, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Bobby.
I appreciate your passion in all aspects. I appreciate your parents.
Thank you. Thank you. So do I.
I mean, I think of all of this. That resonates so hard with me about your parents and how much they loved you and how much they loved it here and how hard they fought to get here.
They did. God bless America.
God bless America.
My dad.
Right. That's awesome. Okay, you guys follow Rita. Get tickets. Stream the album at Rita Wilson. And Rita, a real pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.